We're all sinners, and the law can't save. That's what the law brought, condemnation. You can look into the mirror of the law, and you can see all kinds of things that are wrong with you, but you can't take that mirror and scrub your face with it. You would hurt yourself or break the glass. True? If you look at the mirror and then put your face against it, trying to wipe everything off, mirror can't do it. The law can't help you. It condemns only. It can't save you.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts. As we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse by verse, through the Bible. We look at the purpose of the law as our study of John continues in chapter 1, verse 14. Here's Pastor Bob.
When He came into His own, the Lord did, the Logos, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, He came into His own, and His own did not receive Him. Didn't even recognize Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Remember, we learned that that's what we got the last time we got together. That's where we stopped, so I'll remind you. This means simply that the power to produce the new birth does not rest with anything or anyone except God Himself. It rests with God alone, as what we just read in those verses. Dr. Woolard wrote this: a person welcomes Jesus Christ and responds in faith and obedience to Him, but the mysterious work of the Holy Spirit is the cause of regeneration, the cause of the new birth. God's Holy Spirit takes up residence in our lives. Our lives are changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We're truly born again by grace through faith. And God alone produces that new life in the soul of every true believer. Those are amazing words. And we're only up to verse 13. John's already covered that much in just 13 verses. God alone produces that new life in the soul of every believer in and through His blessed Son by the power of God's Holy Spirit. So if I'm growing and you're growing, we don't blame it on us. We give all the credit and all the blame to God. If we are understanding something, we don't figure it's because our minds are finally catching it. It's because God's Holy Spirit is teaching it to us and we've grasped it. So yay, let's go to verse 14 because the thought continues. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now you could stay all night on that one verse. I won't, but that is so full. The Word, the Logos, we already saw this at in the beginning was the Word, verse 1, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is the Word, the Logos, the Son of God Almighty. He was made, or He became, or the words here, was made flesh, He became flesh, and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, never quit being God, but became fully man, flesh. He was born miraculously, promised that He would be, and He was. We celebrate that at Christmas time. Nobody knows the exact day that Jesus was born. I would be just as happy to celebrate it on July 3rd or 4th, whatever you would pick. But we've got to celebrate His birth sometime, because God Almighty willingly became flesh, the Logos, the Word of God, the Son of the living God, the third person of the Trinity. And He dwelt among us. The Greek word means to take up residence, to pitch His tent among us, or to live among us. He came down here and He became one of us. Jesus. God was speaking. People just couldn't hear Him. They weren't listening. They're running with their fingers in their ears, heading for hell. And God kept putting his finger in the way saying, don't go, you're going the wrong direction. But we're like ants, and you bump into it a bunch of times, and then ants just go a little way and then figure another route to get the same way they were going. Hell. You say, there's poison over there. I saw them put it down. Don't go there, ants, or you'll die. And they look at you like you are so weird because they can't even see that you're there. True? He dwelt among us. He pitched his tent among us. He lived among us. He took up residence in this flesh, but he was never not God. And he proved it by the things he said and the things he did, because only God could say those things and only God could do them. And John points out here in verse 14 that he was one of the actual eyewitnesses of Jesus' heavenly glory. There are three eyewitnesses of that glory, and John says, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John is referring to walking with Jesus. That's how you could see. You walk with Jesus now, walk with him through this gospel. You are see that he is full of grace toward anyone and everyone and full of truth. He never lies. He tells you the way it is, always. But John is not only referring to walking with him and watching all that, he's referring to Matthew 17, verses 1 and 2. Matthew 17, 1 and 2. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and took them up to a high mountain away or apart from the others. And he was transfigured, transmogrified, I guess you could say that too. Metamorphosis is the Greek word, metamorphosized, like from a caterpillar to a butterfly, something totally different. He was transfigured before their very eyes, and his face did shine as bright as the sun, and his clothing white as bright light. He was glowing through his clothes. That was his glory in eternity. John, James, his brother, and Peter saw that and were shocked and stunned, and Peter spoke up, because when, I'm like Peter, when you don't know what to say, you just talk. You ever do it? That was Peter all the way through. Lord, it's good that we should be here. You want us to build three tents? One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah? Peter wasn't thinking. He just said, we'll put you all on the same level. You're seeing the glory of God. You see, Elijah and Moses weren't glowing through their clothes. Jesus was. It was the glory of the Almighty God. So bright, they couldn't look at it. So bright. And that's what he's talking about. He was transfigured before their very eyes. And he walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, every day. I hope we do too, from this moment on. Every day, just walk with Jesus, 24/7. For the next few years, see what your life is like. If you're just walking along with Jesus. As they walked day by day with Jesus, his disciples saw him in every kind of circumstance. When he was just relaxing, telling them stories. When he was being confronted by those who were sick and afraid, those that were demon-possessed. They watched him as he was confronted with people that didn't like him and didn't like what he stood for. They watched him every step of the way handle every situation. And he handled every situation, they said, full of grace and truth. God Almighty in human flesh dealt with everything. He had grace upon grace upon grace for everyone, even his enemies. And truth. He told them the truth. He said it to his disciples a few times. This is the truth. If it were not the truth, I wouldn't be saying it. In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. If that were not true, I'd tell you. I'm not going to tell you a non-truth. So Jesus, God Almighty, full of grace and full of truth. And verse 15 says, John, He's talking about, this is John writing it, but he's talking about John the Baptist. John bear witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received," and John says, "grace for grace." If you'd like to, you could say grace upon grace, which Paul will write in another area. Grace upon grace. Grace for grace. "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God ever," King James, "at any time, ever. No man has ever seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, which is in the bosom of the Father, has declared him." Okay, what a statement that is. How many of you have ever seen God? I don't even have to wait for you to answer. None of you have. None of us have. No man shall see God as he is, right, and live. His glory would be too bright for the human eyes, the human physical body to deal with. We could not deal with it. No man could stand in the presence of God in his glory. And you see, God is a spirit. Spirits are invisible. You cannot see them. It doesn't have arms and legs and et cetera and so forth. Get it? And I think we all know that, but sometimes we don't put it all together. So look at this. Jesus is the very one that John the Baptist was talking about. John said, the Baptist said, "He will come after me. The one that comes after me is preferred before me." Reason is, he was before me. To be preferred before me, here's what John the Baptist is saying. He is greater, much greater than I am. And every one of us, if we've got any sense of on a normal day, would say this: Jesus Christ is much greater than all of us. He lived a life that was completely sinless. And John the Baptist says, I came out preaching and Jesus comes after me, but he's preferred before me. He is much greater than I. And the truth is, he was before me, John says, meaning he's eternal. I was born, John would be saying, about 30 years ago, but he's eternal. God never started and will never stop. There's no beginning and there's no ending with God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, he didn't become God the Son. He was always God the Son in eternity back there. And eternity never starts way back there, and it never ends way out there. Eternity is forever and ever. Something that our minds can't really work with, because there is no time in heaven. Can you think there's no time here? Let me put it in perspective. There's no time in heaven, so the Apostle Paul and me will get there at the same time, because there is no time there. Now, how do you deal with that? But our loved ones, those, what happens to a Christian when they die? To be asking for the bodies to be present with the Lord. When are they getting there? Same time we are, which is called now. Try to deal with that when you go to bed tonight. Just lay there and try to think that through. You'll stay awake all night and wondering where the sun went, and it'll dawn on you. I know. He came after me, but he is preferred before me. Simply, he is greater. He was before me because he's eternal, having no beginning, no end. Because he is the fullness of God Almighty himself, fully God, we receive grace upon grace. Let me say it another way. Blessing after blessing after blessing. Don't we? When was the last time God stopped blessing you? You can't remember because he hasn't. How do I know? You're sort of sitting upright right now, some of you, sort of, which means God's given you the strength and the ability to do that. He continues to bless. You know, not only was there a Christmas last year where you got your little bunny jammies, but this year you're going to get the hat that goes with it. You know, and I mean, you don't deserve the hat or the jammies, but you get them. Why? Because it's grace after grace, blessing after blessing. Hasn't he blessed you and me a lot? And don't we whine about everything? The fullness of God himself, Jesus Christ, blessing after blessing. I wrote this, like waves that come to the shore. You could go to Lake Coeur d'Alene, you can go to Pend Oreille, you can go to the rivers, you could just go to water, the oceans, and the waves never quit. Okay, sometimes they're powerful and big. Sometimes they're just kind of calm and you see it just lapping on the shore, just back and forth. But they never stop, do they? No, it's always in motion. That's the language, grace after grace, means that. Like waves that are coming to a shore, they will never stop. And wait, never means never. So when we're in heaven, we'll be blessed, grace upon grace, there too. It doesn't stop. Never ending. Grace in abundance. Ever flowing, never ending. That's what the language says right here. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace upon grace, blessing after blessing. If there's a tomorrow, Lord will bless you tomorrow. If there's a tomorrow, the Lord will keep you. If tomorrow's the day we all go home, then we'll be there with him forever. Nothing is going to change that. No law, no weather pattern, no modern day weapons. We're always going to be with the Lord. True? So we have a lot to be thankful for, and we have a lot to rejoice about. We have a lot to sing about, even when we don't feel like singing. He says this, no one, I read verses 15 through 18, no one has ever seen God, ever. God is a spirit, I said that earlier. He's invisible. But Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, is right there near his heart. Where's Jesus right now? Sitting at the right hand of the Father. Well, what does he say? No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of his Father. He's right there at the heart of God. He's right there at the throne, at the heart of God. When he was here on this earth, he was still right there in the heart of God, right there in the presence of God. So see, no man has seen God at any time. But his only begotten Son is near his heart, and Jesus communicates his heart to us. He makes God known to us. And when one of the disciples says, show us the Father, and that will be good enough for us. And Jesus said, have I been with you so long, you still don't understand it? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. This is what the Father is saying to you. This is how the Father does it. If you'd like to watch Jesus feed thousands of people and wonder, I wonder if God was on earth, what would he do? That's exactly what he would do. It's exactly what he did. He fed those people. Do you know that some of them weren't there because they loved him? Some of them were there because they wanted lunch. And he gave them lunch. Do you remember though, he did in love rebuke them. The next morning he left, they followed him. And he turned and said, you're not following me because you love me or because you want to learn more. You're following me because you had dinner and now you want breakfast. And God knows why we're following him. We're not going to fool him into the, I'm really your favorite. No, wait, he knows what we're doing. So we need to have honest hearts. Lord, give me a heart that is after you. Draw my heart, pull my heart, draw me after you, Lord. That's Jesus Christ. See, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Well, let me say it another way. The law of Moses, Remember when he said, verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. The law is given by Moses. He didn't write it. He brought it down. God wrote it, remember, with his own finger. He brought it down to the children of Israel. These are God's commandments. This is the law of God. He brought it down. And the law commanded that people obey or they would be condemned. Or they would be condemned to death, remember? Do this and live. You see, the law is given to show every true Jew and every true you and me, every individual on the planet. The law is given to show men and women, mankind, that we're sinners. The law says, thou shalt not, and we say, already did. I mean, before I knew it was a law, I was already doing it. What about you? My parents taught me two words. I was able to put them together to get my brother in trouble. They didn't teach me that. It was a gift I already had. They didn't teach me to lie. They just taught me to point. And my mother would say, who broke this? And I'd go. They didn't teach me that. It was in me. And it came out as soon as I had the ability to point or say, Bill, Paul, not me, right? How about you? Same way, huh? I know. Kind of embarrassing, isn't it? So he brings the law down, and the law condemns all people, all men, all women, all people are sinners. The law cannot save me. You can look at the law and go, oh, no, there, and then read through the Old Testament. We should, we need to. Read through it and you go, oh, I'm a mess. I mean, he said, don't do it. I've done it already. Didn't even know it was written in there. It's too late for me already. If you wanted to start over, you couldn't, because once you're in the trash, well, there you are. And he says, we're all sinners, and the law can't save. That's what the law brought, condemnation. You can look into the mirror of the law and you can see all kinds of things that are wrong with you, but you can't take that mirror and scrub your face with it. You would hurt yourself or break the glass. True? If you look at the mirror and then put your face against it, trying to wipe everything off, mirror can't do it. The law can't help you. It condemns only. It can't save you. So you see, grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. He became flesh. He didn't come to judge you or me or to condemn. We're already condemned. The law did that. He didn't come to judge you and say, ah, you're not very nice. And woo, you people over there. No, he came saying, I'm the great physician. I'm here for you, those of you that are sick. And we humbly go, I'm a sick dude. I'm a mess all the way around. And he would smile and say, I'm here for you. Come on, come to me. He said, I've only come to seek and save those that are lost. And you and me, remember we said, that's me. I'm clueless. I didn't know I was lost, but when it finally made sense that I was, I accepted Jesus right then and there. I hope you did too. I hope all of you belong to Jesus. He came not to judge or to condemn. He came to save the world. I wonder sometimes if we as Christians are here to help or just to point how ugly everybody is. That group of people, they're sick dudes and dudettes. Those guys over there, they're going straight to hell. We're all condemned, and the Bible shows you the law. But grace comes through Jesus Christ, grace and truth. So he doesn't come to judge and condemn. He comes to save, and he did come to save the world. All people everywhere who would listen. You and me and anybody out there that's close to us, and then the rest of the world also. He wants them to come home with him. He died for the joy that was set before him. And the joy that was set before him was each and every one of us who would surrender to him so that we could be with him forever in eternity. Those who had no power to save themselves, Jesus brought grace and truth and shed his blood to pay the full price for sin.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.